Good morning.
If you would turn your Bibles to the 127th Psalm.
In Psalm 127 we read, "Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman keeps awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to retire late, to eat the bread of painful labors. For he gives to his beloved even in his sleep. Behold, children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. How blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be ashamed when they speak with their enemies in the gate." As we look at this and think upon the things that are being said, when we think upon the lessons that we have studied, if we are not building our house upon the Lord, if we're not building our spiritual family, our physical family, upon the principles of God, we're building our husband-wife relationship in vain. If we are not building upon the principles of God as in our responsibilities as fathers and as mothers, we're building in vain. If we do not look responsibly into our own lives and make sure that we're living as God would have us to live, then we are living in vain. And as we continue looking this morning at the lesson, looking at children, unless we are raising our children to love God, to be obedient to His will, to accept the authority of God, then we are raising our children in vain. It's a wonderful thing that we see there at the end. Those that raise their children, that raise them well, how blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be ashamed when they speak with their enemies in the gate. Unfortunately, that doesn't seem to be the case in the world that we live in today. Many are ashamed of their children and the way that their children are acting. And so let's keep in mind that as the psalmist writes, "Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it." That we keep that in mind as we continue to look at the subject of children. We need to understand that children are in fact a blessing to parents. You don't really get that idea from many in the world today. It amazes me. A friend of Anna's, she was talking to, they had gone to high school together and talking to her at a much later period of time. And she was like, "I just wanted to go get a job just to get away from the kids." "Well, what's the point? Why'd you have the kids?" "Well, I wanted kids." "Well, if you're not going to take the responsibility as a mother, and if the father's not taking the responsibility, why bother?" There's a responsibility that we have to our children, and it seems that many don't see the blessings of children. They see only the negatives. Reading some of the comments that my friends from high school post on Facebook, I don't really get the idea that they enjoy their kids, that they look forward to time spent with them. They always write about looking forward to being away from their kids, of escaping the home for a period of time. When you raise your kids as God would have you to raise them, that's not the case. Our children are what we make them or what we allow them to be. It's amazing when we look throughout time that we've gone from the likes of Wally and Theodore Cleaver to the likes of Bart Simpson. With Wally and Theodore Cleaver, now they got in little scrapes and incidents and things of that nature, but they always had respect for their mother and their father. And they always knew that they could go to their mother or father for help. But then you get into the modern age and Bart Simpson has no respect for any authority whatsoever. And of course, as we've noted, Homer is not exactly the best role model for Bart, having no respect for the authorities that are over him and having no respect for his own children. This is the way that the world is going, to where the children are being raised with no respect for anyone. Children, yes, are a challenge to parents, but they should be precious to them. And no pleasure in life can equal the joy that we have in our children. In Ephesians chapter 6, there beginning in verse 1, the Apostle Paul writes, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." Note children, and when I say children, I'm talking to anybody who has a parent. Okay? Let's keep that in mind. There's not a point where we go, well, we're not children anymore. As long as you're living at home with your family, with your mom and dad, you are still under their rule. And even when you're outside of the home, there is still that need of honor and respect that you're to give. And we'll talk about that a little bit later on in the lesson. But children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Children must obey their parents. Children must honor their parents. There's no question of this. There's no, well, what if they don't deserve it? No, you give them the respect that they should have as your parents. We need to really focus on this, especially in the world that we live in today. And so I want to talk to you children today and also to you as parents. And those of you who are thinking of becoming parents, think about these things. Because as we look at these things, we see that parenting is a grave responsibility. There's no job greater in this world than raising children. It is more important than what you have laid up in retirement. It's more important than the job that you do in bringing home and providing for your children. Raising your children, when you are blessed with children, you've got to take that responsibility seriously. Brother Irvin Lee says in his book, Good Homes in a Wicked World, says, arrows must be carefully formed and shaped so that they can be shot straight from the bow. Children must also be molded and shaped into the form that can prove a blessing to the parents. This shaping of a personality is one of the greatest responsibilities a parent has, and the character of a child is determined by the success one makes. The arrow will not hit its target if it is bent or warped. Neither will the child reach that goal which will be the end of his parents' dreams for him if he is not straight and true. The arrow cannot hit its mark without the bowman's taking careful aim. The child cannot reach the mark set for him without the careful planning and aim of the parent. I think he really sets out the importance of being careful in how you begin raising your children and continuing along. One of the things I enjoyed the most about Rustic Youth Camp last year was a friend of mine, he teaches archery there. And he has these the old-fashioned long bows and arrows. And there's a long pitch there that we could shoot arrows. And me and one of the young guys, we sat there for about an hour and shot the arrows to the end and ran down there and got them and brought them back and shot them again. And you know, one of the things that really illustrated to me as I was thinking about this is there's got to be good strength to the bow. The arrow will not fly very far if the bow is not a good bow. He had a couple of bows that he had really worked with, were made of a stronger wood, and he had really taken his time with. And then he had a couple of others that he had just kind of slapped together quickly because he needed some bows for the kids to use at camp. And when we were trying to see who could shoot the furthest and the most accurate, and believe it or not, I did shoot one bullseye out of about 30 from a distance from here down past the end of the parking lot. Well, I will say it was about 30 that I shot, but the first one went in. But you choose the better bow, and then we would carefully choose our arrows, and we'd make sure that the feathers were nice and straight and things of that nature. And that's what Brother Irvin Lee is trying to point out here is, you know, when you're making your arrows, you want something that's nice and straight, and you're even going to work to straighten it. And that's the point that we need to understand in raising of children. The way our children turn out, the way that they aim in their life is a result of us as parents. Period. We cannot blame it on the school systems. We cannot blame it on the world. We as parents need to take responsibility. Without our guidance, our children will fail. You see, God, as we've noted in the previous lessons, God has given us this responsibility. In Ephesians 6, there in verse 4, we're told, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. The women are told in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 14, the younger widows to get married, bear children, keep house, and give the enemy no occasion for reproach. Paul gives further instructions to the women there in Titus chapter 2 that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children. As mothers and fathers, our children are the result of what we have done or have not done. And if your child is not turning out the way that you think it needed to turn out, you need to look at what you've done. Now, as in all things, there are exceptions to every rule, but sometimes I think we take those exceptions and we use it a little too much. We wonder sometimes why our children fall away from the church, and maybe it's because mama and daddy focused a little too much on things opposite from the church. They didn't feel that going to church was as important. They didn't put the focus not only in attending on Sundays, but in serving the Lord day in and day out. Children aren't blind. They watch everything you do. If you don't believe me, just follow me around for a couple of days, and then follow Austin around a couple of days, and listen and watch all the things that he does that are a complete and total copy of what I do. I'll sit downstairs and I'll hear him playing Zelda upstairs, and I'll hear him go, "Yeah, baby!" Because he's heard me say that when I did something well. They catch the good, the bad, and the ugly. Therefore, we need to be careful that we're presenting to them the example that we need. If molded carefully, children will bless us more than we can imagine. They will rise up, and we will be able to talk to our enemies in the gates and not be afraid and not be ashamed. Children who honor their parents, children who are trained well, are a much better retirement than anything you can put in your 401k. Children who are raised without a love of their parents, who are raised without any respect for authority, they're the children who throw their mother and father into the nursing home at the first problem. When mom or dad can't take care of themselves anymore, well, it's time to throw them into a home. But children who are taught to love and honor and respect their parents, they're with that mother or that father until their dying day, caring for them as only a loving child can, returning that love that the parents had shown to them. And we'll look at that just a little bit more at the end of the lesson. There's a couple of passages that we want to look at as far as children. We're going to turn away from the parents. And you who might consider yourself young adults, those of you who are children, pay close attention. Ephesians 6 and verse 1, children. Note, Paul doesn't say please or try to. He says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Children, we need to understand that when our parents say, don't do that, we stop. It's not, well, let's do it quieter and hope they don't notice. It's not, well, let's go around the corner and do this. We need to understand that when we disobey our parents as children, we're sinning. We're committing sin. Not against our parents, but against the Lord. Because we have here a commandment from the Apostle Paul for children to obey their parents. Children, memorize this verse. Learn it. Put it in your vocabulary. And I believe you'll find a lot of family problems that might exist will cease to occur. Children, you need to understand that your place in the home is one of subjection. As much as children in the world would like to disagree, you do not rule the roost. You're there following the will of your parents. Now, unfortunately, many parents, as we talked in earlier lessons, just completely and totally abdicate that role of responsibility. They don't want to be the rule. They want to let the child have their way. And they're the parents who end up hating their children, who want to escape from their children and can't stand to be around their children. But parents, make sure your children understand this. Parents guide you in every word and deed. You arrive in this world without any wisdom, without any insight. Where do you think you learned how to talk? Well, by listening to your parents. How do you think you learned how to walk? By your parents helping you, teaching you, showing you. Everything our children know, they learn from us. The good, the bad, and the ugly. As I've mentioned before, a friend of mine after high school, was in college, she would fuss at her child for cussing. And I'm like, you can't fuss at him for cussing when he hears you do it all the time. Why does he need to obey you when you won't obey authorities? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Parents are responsible for your actions. How you act at school is a direct It shows the school exactly what your parents are. Many parents might be thinking, well, no, that's not me. Yes, it is. The influence that you're giving your children at home, that's what they're taking into the school system. And I'm going to tell you, I guarantee you the majority of teachers in the school systems would love it if parents would take their responsibility and train their children at home. And they would also love it if parents would make sure that their children were obedient to those that were in authority. You learn to obey your parents, it's not so hard to obey your teachers, your principals, the local policemen. Why do the youth today have no respect for authority? Because they've never been taught to obey their parents. That's never been a requirement for them. They live however they want to live. They do whatever they want to do. And this is not right as far as the Lord is concerned. What you do reflects upon your parents and how they taught you. When you reach an age of understanding, you become responsible for your own actions. You then bear your own responsibility to be obedient to your parents, to continue in the way of God, of obeying your parents and the Lord. So look further in the writings of the Apostle Paul. We read, children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Note this phrase here. Be obedient to your parents in all things. Brooklyn, clean your room. Austin, don't do that. Even if it's something trivial, Brooklyn, take your plate into the kitchen. Go put it in the sink. Obey your parents. It doesn't matter if you think it's worth your time or not. When your parents tell you to do something, get up and do it. And parents, make your child obey. Because you're sending their soul to hell if you don't. I don't think we really understand the responsibility of parents. And I don't think children really understand the responsibility their parents have. We need to make sure that we're taking these things seriously. Obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. It's easy to obey when we agree, when they say, alright, it's time to go outside and play. Okay, I'm right there on it. It's not so easy when we disagree, when it's time-consuming, when it's difficult. But it demonstrates true obedience. Why should you obey? Well, when you're young, the best answer is because I said so. I know my kids heard this a lot because some of their first phrases were, I said so. Austin will repeat it, because I said so. But after a period of time, they get towards Brooklyn's age, and because I said so is not a good enough reason. Because I said so needs to be turned into because this is what the Bible teaches. Because this is the way that life should be. This is most pleasing in the sight of God. The parent and child need to learn to communicate. As the child grows and grows in understanding, the child should feel free to explain how it feels about a particular situation. And the parent needs to be ready to listen to that and to take these things seriously. In the end, the parent still rules. But it's just like that husband-wife relationship. It's not a bad thing to be in subjection to someone when they have the proper love and concern for you and take your thoughts and desires and concerns into consideration. And so we need to quit at certain ages going, because I said so, and give them the further reason. Discuss these things with them. When you talk with your kids when they're young, they're more likely to talk with you when they're older. And too many children feel that they cannot talk to their parents. Too many fathers take that whole fear thing a little too far, to where the last person in the world that child is going to talk to is their parents. That's a relationship that is going wrong. Children, you must yield to the decision because you are the child. This is true obedience. One of the first ways to honor and show respect for your parents is to be obedient to them in all things. Because children, you need to understand that your parents are doing the best that they can to shield you from making mistakes. History has shown us repeatedly that those who refuse to learn from the mistakes of others are bound to make them themselves. Your parents are not perfect. Your parents have made mistakes. Your parents have done things that they should not have done. And they're trying to teach you in such a way that you won't make those same mistakes. They're trying to shield you from the same hurts and heartaches. But how many times do our children do just like we did to our parents? Well, I know better. You know, it's kind of interesting as we look at things that a child's attitude changes in regards to it, to its parents. Austin's at the age right now to where Anna and I, we just know everything. We can answer any question. We can fix anything that's broken. My father was one of those that could fix anything. In fact, the neighborhood kids would bring it up and go, take it to Jeff's daddy. Jeff's daddy can fix anything. But then they reach an age to where they're like, how did this person who knew so much become such an idiot? They don't understand anything. They don't know what I'm going through. They don't know what life is like now. They grew up in the... Wow, nowadays children say to their parents, they grew up in the 70s and 80s. Times were different back then. Things have changed. The pressures that we have on us today are different than they were back then. No. Children, you need to understand that the pressures have not changed since the beginning of time. Since Eve was tempted to look at the fruit and to look and to consider that it was good for food, it was desirable to make one wise, those things haven't changed at all. Your parents are trying to shield you. And hopefully they'll live long enough that they'll reach that age that we all came to and go, wow, Mom and Dad were pretty smart. I wish I would have listened to them more. Those that are fortunate live to see that. But many wait too long. After a certain period of time, we have certain circumstances that will come up and you go, well, what would Dad do? And they know. They know what their parents would say in almost every situation. By constant exposure to their parents' instruction, they will reach a point where they know without asking. It wasn't long after I graduated high school that my mother and father moved to Mountain Home, Arkansas, which is about 600 miles from where I lived. And I didn't exactly live the way that I knew I should be living during that period of time. But I'm going to tell you the voices that kept ringing in my head. Tim, you ought not be doing that. Tim, you know better. It's like I could hear their prayers at night during the daytime. Because I knew how Mom and Dad felt. And those kept pecking at me. And it's a good thing. Don't silence that voice. Listen to the instruction of your parents. And you know, I've lived away from my parents pretty much my entire life, my entire adult life. I've only lived near them for a couple of years since that period of time. But I know what my parents would say on pretty much any given situation. Make sure that your teaching is such that your children can take it with them all their days. Make sure that your teaching is such that it will help them. Make sure that your teaching and your example are identical. You see, there's the biggest problem that parents make. And the biggest thing that children know a fake. They know it. They know when someone says one thing and does something else. Once again, as we look at these things, we see in Proverbs 13, verse 1, that a wise son accepts his father's discipline, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. We are raising a generation of scoffers. Understand, young men, young women, once again, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. That's a command, not a suggestion. Heed the discipline, the instruction of your father. But fathers and mothers, we need to understand, as the writer of Proverbs says in verse 1, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Remember, we read, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. There's a right and a wrong way to do it. For too many of us, we choose the wrong way. But parents, understand, once again, we have that responsibility and we will be judged in the way that we have raised our children, the results of our teaching them. And children, understand, you will be judged for how obedient you are to your parents. For how obedient you are to them, not only when you're young, but even when you're older. Finally, children should pay their way. Now this goes completely and totally against the grain of society today. Children should never do anything. Children should just enjoy their time and just have fun. And granted, I'm a firm believer in children enjoying their time. I kind of had a little discussion going on with my sister-in-law because my nieces and nephew were out of school on break, and it seemed like every day they were mowing the yard, they were washing the clothes, they were washing the car. And I'm like, you know, why can't they have a break? And she's like, well, you have to talk to Dan. And my sister chimed in, well, he learned it from Dad. And I'm like, well, I think that's one of those lessons I chose not to learn. Now, that's not to say that Brooklyn doesn't occasionally help mow the yard, that Brooklyn doesn't do things around the house, and the same expectation isn't of Austin. Yes, I believe that children learn their responsibilities in the home beginning at the youngest of age. And they need to have those chores, those responsibilities, but they also need to have that free time. But that's not what I'm talking about when I say that they should pay their way. They're not child labor. They're not slave labor. They should pay their way by gratitude. Think about the clothes you have on your back. Did you make the money to pay for them? Did you make them yourself? Where'd you get them? Mom and Dad? Say thanks. Did you eat breakfast this morning? Did you eat breakfast, lunch, and supper yesterday? Are you a pretty well-fed individual? Do you have a nice home to live in? Roof over your head? Nice, comfortable, dry bed? And all the snacks you can eat? There's a couple of words that it seems are lacking in the world today. A couple of words that used to be called the magic words. They were magic because when you said them, you oftentimes got what you were asking for. And Brooklyn will tell you, it's still true. If you don't ask correctly, the immediate answer, no matter what it is no. Say please. And most importantly, say to your parents, thank you. Thank you for my clothes. Thank you for my home. Thank you for the love that you bestow upon me. Unfortunately, in the world we live in, sometimes nowadays you have to say thank you to your grandparents because they're the ones who give you the most love. Show gratitude for the things that are being done for you. Once again, as we saw in Ephesians 6 and verse 2, honor your father and mother in the Lord, for this is right. This is the first commandment with promise that you might live long upon the earth. A thankful child is one that it's a joy to give blessings to. You don't mind doing things. I remember when Brooklyn was a child, she didn't know how to say thank you. She said gape. We don't know where she got it from. But we knew exactly what she meant when she said gape. Somewhere along the line, she seemed to have lost the words completely. Parents, just remember, your children learn by example. If you don't tell them thank you, they're not going to tell you thank you. When you tell them to go and do something and they do it, say thank you. When you're asking them to do a request, not giving them a command, there's a difference between go and clean your room and please straighten up the living room. We need to show the same example of kindness to them that we expect from them. And I'm going to tell you, if you treat your children properly and if you train them properly when they're young, then when the time comes for them to return the favor, they'll be like my mother-in-law. who lost both her parents at a relatively young age, but showed the love and respect to her father-in-law that many of his own children wouldn't show. And I tell you, that example that she set is one that I've told her time and time again. I told Anna, your mother will never see the inside of a nursing home. She's got the golden coverage. Because she set that example. We need to show our parents appreciation. Not just while we're living at home, but go up to your parents today. Call them if they're still alive and say, thanks, Mom. Thanks, Dad. Thanks for all that you've done for me. Thanks for the guidance that you gave me as I was growing up. But if you're still living at home, one of the greatest ways of saying thanks to your parents is obeying them. Amen. Parents, children are, in truth, our most precious gifts. They're not a chore. They're not a job. They're a blessing. When raised properly, just like in Proverbs 31, your children will rise up and call you blessed, you women. You men, you won't be afraid to stand in the gates. You won't be ashamed. Children, accept your responsibilities. And know that your soul is at stake. Once again, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. There's one final thing I want to say about that before we close our lesson. And it's the same thing I said about women being in subjection to their husband. There is a point. One point where you can tell your parents, I'm not going to do what you asked me to do. When it conflicts with the will of God. It amazed Anna, and a little bit me as well. I wasn't quite as jaded at that time. When she worked at Payless, and these parents would come in with their children and steal shoes. The children would steal the shoes because the parents were instructing them. When your parents are asking you to do something that you know is displeasing in the sight of the Lord, then and only then do you have a right to go against your parents and say, I won't do it. But in everything else, as we noted earlier, in all things, children, obey your parents. We need to be careful in the raising of our children. The future of the church is at stake. The future of our nation is at stake. Take the responsibility of your children seriously. Children aren't accidents. They're not a pain. They're a gift. Parents, accept that gift properly. Train it in the way that the Lord would have you train it. Children, obey your parents. As long as you're living under their roof, and I'm going to tell you some of the things your parents teach you while you're under their roof, they go really well once you're outside of their home. Be thankful if you have godly parents. Be thankful if you've had parents who have tried to raise you and to do what's right, who have shown you the way of truth. Return a word of thanks to them. We look to Mother's Day and Father's Day to say thank you to our mothers and fathers. And really, is one day enough for the 365 days a year for 18 years that our mothers washed our clothes and fed us and kept us in a nice home, and our fathers went to work and provided us with things that we needed and a lot of things that we wanted and didn't need? Can't we find more opportunities? But children, once again, the greatest way to show your gratitude is to be obedient. And once again, your soul is at stake. Perhaps you're here this morning and you've never become a child of God. There's no greater family to be a part of than the family of God. Jesus Christ died upon the cross that we, the vile sinners of the world, that's all of us, can have forgiveness of those sins. Can be removed from the kingdom of Satan and be translated into the kingdom of light, transferred. That we can be taken from the family of Satan and adopted sons, children of God. Brothers and sisters to Jesus Christ. If you've never obeyed the gospel, if you're not a part of that family, you can be a part of that family this morning. By humbly submitting yourself to the will of God. Remember, we obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. Obey your Father who is in heaven. Jesus said, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. It's pretty simple. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Do you understand that sin has separated you from God, has removed you from a fellowship with Him and put you in the fellowship of the world? Then come forward, confess your belief that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Repent of those sins. Be buried in baptism and you'll arise a new creature, a part of a new family. You cannot be a part of that family except through baptism, through obedient baptism, through the blood of Jesus Christ. Perhaps you're here, you've obeyed the gospel at some point in time, you've become a part of the family of God, but you've been disobedient to your Father in heaven. You've been more obedient to the things of this world than the invitation is offered to you as well. You might come forward and repent of whatever sin is in your life and be returned in faithful service and to be returned as a faithful child of God and have that inheritance. That inheritance that is above all things this world can dream of. Eternal life. If you're not right with God, make yourself right as we stand and as we sing.